This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. When filmmaker Jay Bolger named his latest documentary Beware of Mr. Baker, he was not exaggerating. The film is a look back at the career of the legendary rock drummer Ginger Baker, and it stars the volatile musician himself, known for his work in bands like Cream and Blind Faith, and notoriously for his drug use and quick temper. Ginger Baker largely disappeared from the music scene in the mid-70s, but surprisingly enough, his dramatic life carries on to this day. Jay Bolger joins me here in the studio. Hi, Jay.
How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Did you think Ginger Baker was dead?
I guess I knew when he was alive when they did the Cream reunion.
Right,
but
course.
It still felt like they had resurrected like this guy from the grave or something. Like, he was there, but I didn't actually think he was alive, if that makes sense.
Well, you're 30. You're too young to have been a fan of Ginger Baker when he was in his ascendancy. So
right.
How did you first come to know him?
I definitely first came to know him listening to Classic Rock 94.7 in D.C. and watching my dad play Ginger Baker on the steering wheel.
And the steering wheel.
Yeah, you know, like just banging away on the steering
yep,
wheel.
Yep.
And he would bang more to them maybe than any other band. I'm not sure. I guess I didn't really know who Ginger Baker was except by name. At that time, it wasn't until I watched Tony Palmer's very obscure documentary called Ginger Baker in Africa that was about Ginger driving the first Range Rover ever produced over the Sahara Desert to go and live and play and record and built the first 16-track recording studio in Africa. And when I saw him driving across in that documentary, I was like, oh my God, this guy is someone else.
They don't talk with their mouths at all, they talk with the drum. And it made people laugh and things they say. It's very, very interesting. And they sort of run around and they come up to you and go, you know?
That's a little bit from the 1971 documentary Ginger Baker in Africa, which actually introduced filmmaker Jay Bolger to the idea of Ginger Baker and inspired him to make his own film about the legendary drummer. The opening and closing scenes of the movie, a lot of people have been talking about this, is you getting hit across the bridge of the nose, you know, your nose cut open by Ginger Baker.
Broken.
He broke your nose with it. It's a cane,
it's
right?
It's a metal cane.
Metal cane. Why was he so exercised at you at that moment?
I've said it before, and I'm positive. I know it was because he was sad to see me go. I'm positive, you know.
How long had you been there?
You know, on and off for years. And that was the second time I had spent, like, a lengthy amount of time living with him. And the first time, the same thing happened, too, on the day that I was leaving. I was like, cool, I'm going to leave today. And he just disappeared. It's easier for him to end things that way. And, you know, I discovered that in the film, like the psychology of this kid who was deeply affected by the Nazis bombing his neighborhood and home and his killing his father in World War II. And, you know, he left his dad. His earliest memory was going out to the tracks and watching his dad go off on the train. And he said, it was like, I knew he was never coming back. And he started crying. And he told me that he would never be left on those tracks again. And I think that that moment is like a, if that's any indication of like how he's, you know, relived that trauma over and over and over, you know, that's what he does with people and bands and music too.
Right. And in fact, the ostensible reason for his anger at you is you've told him not just that you're leaving, but now you're going to go talk to the other people that he's
worked with. That was definitely his reasoning for sure on the spot.
You just want to push up the people I've moved here to get away from. I haven't spoken to it, not one single one of them since I left there. And I don't want any of them on my film.
You don't even care.
I do understand.
Yeah. What the f*** is wrong with that? Are you really going to hit me with
f***ing well, I am. I'm going to put you in hospital.
What?
Holy shit.
It's genius. There's an awful lot of bleeping if you had to play any of this movie on the radio.
Man, a lot of cigarette smoking, too.
He says, my film.
Yeah, it was interesting because he had never said my film before. If anything, he had been, you know, too cool to even admit that he cared about participating. You know, we did an interview in London, or the Q&A in London. I was so angry because he refused to watch the film. And then we did this thing in front of 500 people, and they're asking questions. And they're asking him about the film. And he's like, oh, I don't even know Jay or care about the film. You know, he's a complicated guy.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that he said, my film. Now he's watched his film.
And
he gave me an 85%.
All right. I would say that's probably as good as it's going to get.
It was amazing.
From Ginger Baker. And he's living in South Africa. So this...
Now he just moved from South Africa about 6 months ago, and he lives in Kent outside of London.
Right, but what we just heard.
That was in Africa. It, right. He was in South Africa for almost a decade. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, filmed him over the course of 4 years. I basically documented him blowing all that Cream Union money. You know, I made 5 to 10 mil. And when I got there, he bought 39 polo ponies, and at the end, he had to sell up the whole thing.
So he does plead poverty at various points during the film. On the other hand, he's living in this private gated compound with the stable full of these beautifully bred horses from Argentina or whatever.
The flymen from Argentina. I know. They have horses there, too. That's how ridiculous he is. He could have bought those South African horses.
He could have done anything. I mean, in the late 60s, early 70s, Ginger Baker was, I mean, he was like this figure out of mythology.
Who thought about, you know, replacing Moon with him?
Really?
Yeah, but then I think they said, geez, he's too much to deal with, probably as well as Zeppelin, but
right.
I know the Who considered.
Well, you know, Ginger Baker, doesn't have very nice things to say either about Keith Moon or John Bonham, the late drummers of The Who and Led Zeppelin, respectively.
Well, they shouldn't be put in the same context.
And this is one of the points of the film. Who should be put in the same context as Ginger
Ginger's
Baker?
Up there with the Max Roach, Art Blakey, Elvin Jones, and Tony Williams. And
these are the great jazz drummers of
Ginger,
the 20th century.
The guy was beyond rock and roll. He grew up in the jazz era.
Mm-hmm.
He was much older than Moon and Bonham, and he grew up playing as a professional jazz musician. Those guys would have said the same thing. They looked up to him.
We're speaking about the film Beware of Mr. Baker, documentary about the legendary drummer Ginger Baker from the band Cream and Blind Faith and many others. Jay Bolger, the documentary filmmaker. An early sort of pivotal moment in Ginger's life is discovering the so-called Quintet of the Year.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a band, though.
Oh my God is right. Max Roach, Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie.
Yeah. Oh
Bud Powell.
Bud Powell.
And a bass player by the name of Charles Mingus. I mean, holy
Mingus.
God.
Jeez. I mean, that's like the dream team.
That's the Murderer's Row.
Yeah.
That's music's version of the 1927
right?
Yankees. Absolutely.
And being introduced to that album by Ginger and listening to it was mind-blowing for me, too.
Well, it sounds like Ginger Baker had a very similar kind of revelation listening to this recording, and especially to the drummer Max Roach. That is the late, great Max Roach, drum solo in a performance from the so-called Quintet of the Year.
Unreal.
With Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, Bud Powell, and Charles Mingus. It was a life-changing experience for drummer Ginger Baker, as it was for the man who's made the documentary film about him, Beware of Mr. Baker. That's Jay Bolger here with me on Soundcheck. And one of the things about Max Roach that echoes in Ginger Baker in your film is Max used to do what he called these four-part inventions, where each limb would operate independently of the other. So he was literally doing four things at once with each of his hands and feet. And Ginger says almost the same exact thing at one point in your film. That concept of time.
Yeah, time.
Time, for sure. I mean, and his concept of time carries over to people's personalities and everything. It was really interesting to hear how, you know, defined by time this guy is, and just the way he walks and hits the cane on the ground and my nose, you know. The guy has perfect time.
Did he hit you more than once?
No, he just hit me that one time.
Okay,
but as far as Max, you know, his Tom work is just unbelievable. He's so good.
Well, one of the other things, you mentioned this before, and what makes Ginger Baker so different from the great rock drummers of the same period is that he was so much more than that. He could play jazz. He was a master of, you know, African drumming as well. And he composed. He wrote.
Yeah.
And there's a really kind of telling scene in the film where he's talking about a couple of the greatest hits of Cream. And it's not that he wrote them, but he took what would have been kind of simple four-square songs and made something different out of them.
Jack brought it in and was going diddly-diddly-diddly-diddly-ding-back-diddly-back. That's where Jack's head is writing. And I said, man, that's terrible. Why don't you slow it down and play it backwards? Ba-da-da-ba-ba-ba. Another one is White Room, the 5/4 bolero that makes it. Da ba 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 bum 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 da. It wasn't written like that. Jack wrote it in 4/4. He now declares I wrote it in 5/4. I mean, hello.
In a white room with black curtains near the station. Black roof country, no gold payments, tired starling. Dark eyes, gone light smile on you leaving my contentment.
Jack Bruce, Eric Clapton, and Ginger Baker on drums. Together they were Cream, and we heard a little bit of Sunshine of Your Love, and of course White Room at the end there. A clip from the film Beware of Mr. Baker, made by Jay Bolger, who's with me on soundcheck. Beware of Mr. Baker is playing in select theaters nationwide.
How good were they?
Yeah, all three of them.
No, they were all. That's. I mean, you look at them compared to Jimi Hendrix. Jimi's the greatest guitarist ever, for sure. But Mitch Mitchell and Noel Redding, you know, those guys, the three of them combined, there's never been. I mean, they're just unbelievable.
He spends, by his own count, about 19 years trying to get off heroin.
Yeah. He said the other day in the newspaper that he quit 47 times or something. It was like something, like, why did he even bother counting?
Yeah. So when he goes to Nigeria, what was that about? I mean, you said before he left everything. He's famous. He's got fortune. He's got a family. And he leaves it all behind.
Well, the inception of the idea was he was at a gas station driving his Jensen FF, which is like a Ferrari, English Ferrari type, you know, very expensive sport car. And he's getting gas, and he's like, geez, I'm going to go to Africa. And he just got in the car.
And was he high at this point?
Totally high. Right. And he drove from England, and he got as far as Algeria or something, and he saw some really beautiful girl. And he drove off a cliff, and there's footage of the Jensen off the cliff. They pull it up, and he's like, geez, I needed. Then I went back. I realized I needed an SUV. So he gets the Range Rover. And he chose to drive because he thought, okay, if I'm in the desert with no heroin, I'll have to detox. But, yeah, the driving thing, totally nuts. And you know, he also wanted to make a documentary of, you know, all of these different rhythmical cultures along the way.
Yeah. And then he gets to Lagos, Nigeria.
Yeah.
And not only does he meet Fela Kuti, who is, you know, at that point not quite the world-renowned figure he would later come to be. Not only does he meet Fela, who has, by the way, his own kick-ass drummer in
Tony Allen. Amazing, yeah.
But then he's like, come play with me.
Oh, yeah. They did multiple albums together that are unbelievable. You know, you can still get them. Ginger Baker and Fela Alive. Ha! the meeting of those two people is so important.
Is there anything that Ginger Baker wouldn't talk to you about?
Just his third wife in Colorado. And I put that in there, you know.
Where he says, let's not talk about her.
It was the only thing. And I think it was because he loved her. And as he said in the movie, she was so sweet. And you look at her and she's this beautiful American blonde who was in medical school with this old ghoulish figure. And she's like, you know, she's this thick Project Linus. She's this big philanthropist. And, you know, she just put up with so much of his BS.
So what is your relationship now with Ginger Baker after having made the film and him having seen the film and given you a passing grade on it?
Oh, he's hilarious. He emailed me the other day. He had done this interview the other day, and he said, they asked him, why did you break Jay's nose with a cane? And he said, he had me doing things that I would never ever remotely consider doing, like teaching African kids to play music. I had no option but to break his nose. And I was like, okay, that's a great quiet. This is a compliment on my behalf, you know, almost. Because I did. I said, look, man, if you're not going to continue playing, why don't you teach kids to play music? And so I got him to teach these kids in this drumming organization of sorts to play music. And he liked it at the time, but, you know, just the idea that I was, you know, puppeteering Ginger Baker, he doesn't like that. So.
Well, now he's got a drum again because having gone belly up financially, we see at the end of the film, he's back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle.
Does he still have it?
He does, man. And, you know, he's got osteoarthritis, degenerative spine. But I went and saw him play, and I thought, for me, the greatest stuff he ever did was with the Cream Reunion.
Which was, about 6 years ago now?
Yeah.
Seven?
2005, so almost seven. Yeah. And he's just as good as that. And it's like he's learned everything along the way, and he doesn't need to play as fast or hard, but he's a true master at this point, where he has a voice on the drum. He can make those things talk. I just love hearing him play now. And it's so beautiful at the end, for me at least. You know, the villain gets back on the saddle. I love it.
It's a really extraordinary film. It's called Beware of Mr. Baker, the documentary about Ginger Baker, made by my guest Jay Bulger. Jay, it's been a lot of fun talking with you about
it. Thank you so much, man.
This is Soundcheck.
Crossroads, drive. also believe I'm sinking down.
Eric Clapton, please, above all.